Anabaptists were frequently captured, tortured, executed, most typically by drowning, right? You want to get dunked? Here you get dunked. You die. We're going to have to talk about why it was that the Anabaptists got persecuted wherever they went in a way that didn't happen to Lutherans and Reformed and Catholic. There was persecution and fighting among Lutheran and Reformed and Catholic, no doubt about it, but not this systematic hunting down. The Anabaptists basically said, Christendom is not really Christian, and Christendom fought back as if it was defending its own life, as if it was suppressing an attempt to undermine the very body of Christ. Well, let's talk now about the name Anabaptist. It's about time we mention what it means. Anabaptist is basically Greek for rebaptizer. So the group is named after this practice of rebaptizing people who had been baptized as infants. Now, it's not exactly a fair name because, of course, the Anabaptists don't think they're rebaptizing anybody. They're baptizing people for the first time because the infant baptism is not valid. Remember that distinction between valid and efficacious. A valid baptism is like a legal marriage. It may not come with the inner reality that it signifies, but it's still legal. Just like if you marry someone that you don't love and you're just doing it so that she can get a visa, it's just a legal formality. Still, it's a legal, valid marriage. There are, of course, marriages that are not valid, that turn out not to be legal, but that's a different issue. So the Anabaptists are saying it's not just that infant baptism is valid but not efficacious. It's not just that it's an empty sign that doesn't do what it signifies. It's not even a baptism at all. It's not a sacrament. Infant baptism is simply splashing somebody with water and saying meaningless words. And that's why you can baptize people as adults, even if they've been baptized as infants. Everyone agrees you're only supposed to baptize people once, because baptism signifies new life, right? It signifies this born again business. Whereas for Anabaptists, you're supposed to be born again before you're baptized. The baptism signifies a spiritual event that's already taken place in your heart. It doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't convert your heart. In contrast to Luther, who insists that you are born again in baptism, which we'll talk about. That's a radically different notion of what baptism is all about. For the Anabaptists, faith and being born again come first, and then you get baptized. So we've got a whole bunch of radical implications both about Christian community and Christian identity, all stemming from this practice of infant baptism. So let's look at the theological challenge of infant baptism as Luther encountered it when he first heard about the Anabaptists in the 1520s. He wasn't well informed. He was hearing things secondhand from Switzerland. But he did write a treatise called Concerning Rebaptism, in which he gave arguments in favor of the validity of infant baptism. Now, you can see what the challenge is for Luther, and it's fairly simple. On the one hand, how can someone who believes that Scripture alone lays down obligatory rules for the Church insist on infant baptism when it's not clearly mandated in the Bible? Luther will have to deal with that one head on. And secondly, how can someone who believes that we're justified by faith alone baptize infants who cannot yet believe? Luther, in fact, gives a series of different answers. You have a sense that he's sort of generating as many answers to this question as he can. First of all, he says, every sort of person is to be baptized because of Christ's command to baptize. And he quotes the really most crucial command to baptize in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, known as the Great Commission, the Missionary Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Right? Luther says that means everybody. You make disciples of whole tribes and kingdoms, and you baptize them all. That includes the infants. So Luther will do exegesis of that sort, saying that the command of the Bible really does include infants. At least it doesn't clearly exclude them. He also will quote things like the famous saying of Jesus, let the children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He will also go further. The crucial thing really is that he thinks Christ commands infant baptism. At least we can't be sure that he doesn't command the infant baptism, given how broad the command is. But he'll go further and say, look, maybe infants do believe. He'll quote the example of John the Baptist, who, when Jesus was coming actually, when Mary was coming, bearing Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist in her womb, right, met together, and Mary came to visit, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy at the coming of Christ. And he was just a baby in the womb, and he clearly had faith. So, if John the Baptist can leap for joy in the womb at the presence of Christ, why can't a baby be among the faithful?